To serve great food is to create memories for your customers.
But it takes more than luck.
It takes consistency, creativity, and the drive to see things through.
And every day, the stakes are high, which means it's time to stand up
from your computer and start getting real. To own your kitchen is to own your bottom line.
This is the real world, and now.
This is the real world, and now.
This is the real world.
And now is the time to foodify your business.
Welcome back to the F Your Business podcast.
Yeah, we got some hot food cooking today.
Yeah, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to switch it up a little bit. I think we ran through a lot of fresh roasts frozen. We're happy to do more. If anyone wants to send in any more suggestions, we'll run back that. No problem. We're happy to do it. But we ran through a lot. So we're going to make a little switch here. And for the next few weeks, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, I would say at least, we're going to do items that you could use as an appetizer and an entree, and in some cases even during lunch. So we just want to give you multiple ways, if you bring a product in, how to use it. So that's what we want to work on now. We got a couple weeks of this to get through. Like I said, probably 4 to 6 weeks of this at least. Today's one of my favorite. You know, I love to eat this. It's the time of year for it. We're going to make a nice brajol. I'm going to teach you how to do it, how to add it to your menu as an appetizer, and how to add it to your menu as an entree. So we got our shopping list somewhere here.
Somewhere.
It's cold. I got a lot of pockets.
A lot of pockets now.
So we got it here. So we'll see you inside. Make sure we got everything here. All right. There's a lot of components to this brajol, right? I got the breadcrumbs. I got the parsley. I got the Parmesan. I got the basil, I got the black pepper, olive oil, garlic. I got the wine that we need. I got the crushed tomatoes, I got the pepper flakes, I got the verjus. Most importantly, I got the brajol cut nice and thin, ready to go. Only thing left to do is go roll the babies up and braise them.
All right.
We'll see you in the kitchen. All right, welcome back. Here we are, we're in the kitchen. What are you doing over there?
Nothing.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
It's for the brajol. It's not a side thing here.
I just saw the meats in here. It looked really good. I was thinking, right.
If we run a slice short, that brajol is going to be yours. All right. You get brajol with no brajol in there. So here we are. We're back in the kitchen. We're all ready. We got everything ready here. We got our fresh breadcrumbs here. We're going to put some basil in there. Get the basil in. Don't leave any in that bowl. The bowl don't need it. You got to get it. And with the mixture, there's a fresh chopped parsley, Italian parsley. There is no other kind. Got a Parmesan Reggiano that's going in.
A lot of cheese in there. All right.
Well, you got to have cheese. All right. We've got our salt and pepper. Watch with the salt because the cheese is really salty.
Okay.
All right. So you want to be careful with that. All right. Now you can go with a little extra virgin olive oil. You want this, the consistency of this to be like the beach, like sand. You don't want it packed,
okay.
But you want it a little sandy. We'll get the mix in and I'll show you what I'm talking about. All these fresh herbs in there, the cheese, the olive oil is going to make for a great combination with the brajol and the beef. It just mixed real nice.
I feel like as usual, you keep it nice and simple.
That's it.
Limited ingredients, but boom, the color is vibrant.
Food.
Fresh, looks great.
All right, I'm gonna put a little bit more in there. You can see it's starting to clump up a little bit together.
Okay.
I want a little more though. Gotta get a new bottle. I knew we were going to use it, so we picked up an extra one. You can already smell it. Just these ingredients.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now, is this on the normal crisp menu at home too, or what? I mean,
oh yeah, I make this for holidays. I make this. You know, it's a full wintertime kind of thing. It's not something I normally do in summer. Normally, I mean, if I had the craving, I would.
Right.
But because you're cooking it on top of the stove for 2 to 2.5 hours.
Okay.
Right, but you see how that is now. That consistency, it's a little sandy like.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what we want. We want it to look just like that. Okay? So now we have our brajol.
went to the butcher, they cut a thing, they pounded it out a little bit. We also got some fresh, thin sliced brisket from them.
Gotta go thin sliced. I mean,
gotta be. You definitely don't want it thick. And don't worry about it being all neat and proper. Just get it on there. Especially brisket, when you slice it thin, it gives you a problem. Then you just take some of this mixture. Now, you don't want to overdo it. It's not stuck.
Okay.
This is rolled. Okay? So, you just want to...
So it looks like you leave it maybe a couple inches on.
That's all. Not much. That's it. You see that?
That's it. Around the border, around the...
Yeah. You save that for rolling.
Right. Okay.
So there you go. Right? That's what you have. That's it. All right? They say you don't want to overstuff it. Because it's not a stuffed piece of meat. It's a brajol, which means rolled meat or chops. Or chops. It depends on the dialect. But so then you bring this in, and now you want to bring these over like this.
Okay.
Okay. Bring these like this. You got to get everything working together to do this.
This might be the trickiest part of the whole thing is getting
it right. This could be, right? So then you just start rolling it.
Got it. So once you get it up,
pick this up. And you keep using your fingers to keep bringing this in. This is going to hold everything in. We don't want it coming out. Right? So we keep holding it in. Holding it. Right? Tuck these sides up. See that? Tuck the sides up. The sides up.
You have a certain kind of meat you like to use.
Look at
that. Oh, it looks perfect.
I give it a little press here. So you go a lot of different ways with it. To keep it simple so everyone says what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This, I like to love the broil, cut really thin,
okay,
and then pound it out a little bit. Go off the rump roast, you take it from there. It doesn't, an inexpensive piece of meat, because we're going to braise it. Anytime you're braising anything, you don't need an expensive piece of meat, right? I actually go to one restaurant, and they do it with filet mignon. And they told me, and I wasn't impressed, because it tastes no different.
When it was the end of the day, you still...
It was the same. It was good. It was the same brajol.
Right.
There was no difference. It wasn't like, wow, it's... No. Okay, you spent a lot of money on it for no reason.
They charged a lot more probably.
Yeah, they did charge a lot, so I won't get it here again. But it was good. Brajol is never going to be big.
Right.
So now we take a toothpick. One toothpick. You go down and then up. That's all you need to do. That's it. So you need to go. There you go. This is done.
Nice. We got a few to roll now.
We got a few to roll. So we're gonna roll through it. You know, you guys are welcome to stay, watch, but I'm gonna try to knock through as quick as I can. This way we can get to the next part. Unless Scott's got something to talk about, I don't know. Scott's always got something to talk about. You got any history on this, or you don't know yet?
No, I saw that. It goes back deep. I mean, you're showing some even like ancient Greece, but really Italian is where they. You know what I mean? Is where it came over, and they really said for the brajol that we're used to, especially the United States, it came over with the Italian immigrants, and that's how it kind of came.
That's here. How it came here. Right.
The biggest thing you said, I guess from when they were in Italy. Meat was a lot more expensive. So a lot of things that they were making for meals were the mixtures, were these other parts of it, and they were really reserving a meat dish for like a holiday or special occasion.
Sure. And we do a lot of that here too.
Right. But when the Italian immigrants came to the United States, the meat wasn't as expensive. It wasn't as hard to get. So they started using it in more day-to-day meals.
Gotcha.
And that's where this sort of kind of came from is they're already using this sort of mixture. It can be different items. Chris will go into some details of what could be in there, but they started adding this thin meat to it that they could use more on a daily basis, but not having to wait for a holiday. Or having to wait for a special occasion. Right. It became more of their everyday.
Well, this is more of a Sunday dinner. Easily. People make this on Sundays.
Okay.
But we still have it on holidays a lot. For Christmas, this was our meal. This and lasagna.
And I know you said before there's other stuff that you could stuff it with or stuff that you have used to stuff it with.
So one of the big things people like to stuff it with is spinach. They'll put some cheese in there, the same cheese we used. But they go with the spinach. I'll eat it. I'm not going to turn it away.
Right.
but I prefer this. I don't like it with the spinach as much.
You ever see any like fruit or like raisins or anything like that? Or?
Yeah, so. Okay. So, it depends what region you're from. You could put diced hard-boiled egg chopped up.
Oh.
Pretty much same thing we're doing with the with the hard-boiled egg. You go with raisins, you go with the pine nuts.
Okay.
Right? It could be all that. Depends on your region.
Got it.
My region, this is it. You know, this is what I grew up with. Just like this. Another way, too, other than this, was my mother would do it with the same meat, but she would use cracked black pepper, chopped garlic, salt, pepper, or the cracked black pepper, right, and then the Parmesan cheese in there.
Okay.
And that's it. Roll it. Same way we're doing it. So I had it that way and this way. That's the two ways I ate it.
And typically, is there always a prosciutto or another meat in it?
No.
Sometimes, okay.
I'll make it without it sometimes.
Okay.
Just like this without the prosciutto.
Got it.
You don't need to have it, but I do like to add it, flavor it gives it. A lot of people do. There's some people that, you know, the prosciutto is too salty for them,
right,
so they don't like it. But for me, it can't be salty enough. But you'll see when you eat this, it's not salty at all. Is it? Pretty big piece of meat.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. As you know, you're putting in your restaurant, that's where you're going to figure out what you're going to put in it. You know, try these ingredients you already have. You don't need to bring in one other ingredient you don't have. Or again, you know, keeping the option that maybe you have it with or without prosciutto. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't want to eliminate a whole, you know, if someone doesn't eat, you know, prosciutto, or like I said, people just don't like it.
Well,
you have a couple options on that if it's in or not.
Well, if you're, you know, if you don't carry prosciutto, and you don't want to bring it in,
right,
don't put it in there. Believe me, it's not the end of the world. Right. It's not. If you're carrying another Italian meat and you want to try it with that in there, go ahead. I'll do hot supersado.
Okay.
You know, I've done it with that. I've done it with a couple of different ones, you know. I like to experiment. And I know that any meat I put in it, it's not going to be bit.
Right.
Can't be bit. Right. This. And again, you don't go too heavy with this. Just right down the middle.
Yeah, I'm watching.
Just enough. Nice
light layer.
And you'll see why, like when we cut it open, you'll see the ring in there of the bread mixture. Don't want to go more heavy than that. That's it. You know, and I don't use chopped garlic in this. A lot of people do. That's kind of optional in this recipe. Okay. But you can. I just don't think it needs it.
Right.
Right. Again, we talk about flavors battling. That's such a strong flavor. It's kind of going to steal everything from these great herbs. You know,
I can see that. It doesn't, you have flavor, all these other things. You don't really need
if
that
you
answer.
Want it, put it in. You know, you could do a little red pepper flake in here too. I'm not going to put it in here, but I will put it in the gravy that we make.
Okay.
But a lot of people will put it directly in this. But again, you know, this is what's important though. Tuck this in, right? This way, it all don't come out. Because if not, when you cook it, it's just going to be all in your gravy.
Right, right.
Don't want that.
The foundation of our team is a shared objective. As specialists in the hospitality industry, we understand the importance of timely and accurate reporting for our clients, which has been made even more crucial throughout the post-pandemic industry recovery.
We truly believe our mission is to give back to business owners control of their finances so that they can make better decisions daily.
The way that we are consistently showing value to our clients is by speaking with them on a weekly basis. Not only do they have the relationship with their lead accountant, but they have the opportunity to meet with industry experts.
The truth is that things will never be like they were before 2020. But we believe that our weekly accountability model will help you adapt to the new reality and grow and evolve into an even better business in the years to come.
All right, Scott. So here we go.
You were hard at work over there rolling your arms all right.
There's a lot of... Listen, this is a child's play. This is nothing. I mean, it's really, you do this in a restaurant, you know, in an hour, you're good. You got some real profitable food on your menu. We're good to go. All right, so what we need to do now, we got them all rolled. They're good. Got the toothpick in them. We're going to hold together while we sear them off. So we want to sear them off now because when you sear them, when you sear it, it holds in all the juices now when it braises. So it stays juicy, it stays good, and we're not going to get like a dry piece of meat, right? Because you see, there's not a lot of fat in this.
No.
Right? So you don't want a dry piece of meat. So here we go. We're going to start with this. Get this in the oil. all the crowds are canned. Man, I got to force these all in there, but I'm not going to.
Right. All right.
I'm going to go right there now. I'm going to let these cook. We're going to let them go. Let them brown on all sides.
And how long is this process take?
I'm going to say it depends how hot you get your pan.
Okay.
But if you get a hot pan, we have it. I'm going to say 2 to 3 minutes a side.
Got it.
You know? And you got to have a good pan to do it. Right? Yeah. A pan that can take to use. This pan is what I use all the time for it. This is juice coat. This is my brother's old pot.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is my braising pot. I braised a lot in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the hard work's done, right? Once you roll it, once you brown it, the rest is turned.
Well, after you roll it, you brown it, then we're going to get the gravy going. We nestle back in the gravy.
Okay.
Put the lid on it. Let it simmer up here for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Got it.
No more than 2.5. And that's it.
You're doing other stuff at that point. That's not watching it.
You really don't have to stir it.
Right.
Right. Every now and then you might just want to make sure that the brajol's covered, you know, get
sure.
The full little gravy up on it. Yeah. But you don't want to turn them or nothing like that.
Okay.
You want to let it cook. That's what we're looking for. Boom. See, that's got.
I see it. My stomach sees it. No. I'm not sure if I can wait for 2.5 hours to eat them, but we're going to get, you know.
You'll be all right.
All right.
Because you're going to smell it and you're going to know it's worth the wait.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
Any more prosciutto than the still, or we used all that up?
No, you ate it all. And where that, if we used it all, you ate it all. Wherever it was left, it was gone. But again, this is how simple this is. This is not a hard process. You know, people that don't know, they get nervous.
Right. Sure, it looks intimidating.
Yeah, sure. If you were to make a brajol, but no, you make a brajol.
Right.
Because you've never done it, but he's telling you. That's like, you know, the mole sauce. You make the mole sauce. Scared the best to make it, so I did. Because it's, you know, it's to them, it's so pristine. It's one of their best fishes. But I worked with a guy, we worked on it, we made it, he taught me how to do it, and now I can make it right. Good as we can.
But I think that's almost more of a reason to get it on the menu.
Right.
Right, because there's plenty of people that aren't going to be able to have the time to
people don't want to do this at home.
Right, I can go cook my own steak at home,
right?
I can go do this at home or that at home. This would be a little more intensive. Not that you couldn't do it at home, but your customers are probably like, wow, that's something different.
They might not know how to do it.
They might not, probably don't know how to do it. Not quite, right? Probably don't. So I think as you guys are, you know, as we're looking at adding any items, you know, kind of thinking that a little bit is, that's why it adds value to your menu. It's why it's going to create repeat guests for your restaurant. Because it's something that they can't just get anywhere else. But you're not going to see this on a ton of menus.
No. That you're not.
For certain items.
At a, you know, experience. You don't see this all over the place.
For certain items, you can see every menu, right? There's Italian, I love a good chicken parm, but you see that on every Italian restaurant, every non-Italian restaurant right. Now, every...
You go to Italian, anything you go to, there's a chicken parm.
It always is, yes, that's okay. I like it, but right. That's not a problem.
Right.
I can go to, you know, your chain restaurant now and have chicken parm on it.
Right.
And I'm not even talking about just Olive Garden. Like, no, all of them have it.
They all have it.
And that's an example of something like this. Is going to be somewhat specific to your restaurant.
Right.
I think you're the only one doing it, but I think it adds something that other people aren't doing.
Well, you'll be one of the few. Let me put it to you that.
Right.
You have to go to a really authentic town in the ghetto.
Sure.
You're not walking in Olive Garden and getting a brothel.
Right.
And that's not really Italian. They call it.
Right.
You're not walking in getting a brothel. Most Italian restaurants go to you're not. But they're very safe. You know, you want to go to a good, authentic Italian restaurant, this is either always on the menu or it's one of their very freaking specials.
Right.
You know?
And we really want any sort of menu innovation or adding, it was how we would change it. So we want items on the menu that separate you, that bring, you know, your customers, your guests back. And I think that's just taking out for the box a little bit. Nothing on here was reinventing the wheel. It's not like we're adding some crazy sort of item that you would normally carry. We're just using some energy a little different than you're using right now.
Right. Exactly. Okay, now we're going to let this cook off. And when it's done, we take everything out and we get the gravy going.
company.
All right, Scott, here we go now. Right?
All right.
We're done, right? We got it all.
It smelled great already.
All brown, all ready to go. Now we're on to the last and final step.
Okay.
Okay. Get our heat going. We're going to deglaze the pan with some red wine.
All right.
All right. Get the red wine in there.
See, the red wine will probably go very nicely when we're trying the steak later.
Most likely will. Most likely will. So get that in there, right? Just get it moving around a little bit. I'm going to get all the little bits off the bottom.
Okay.
Let that cook down some. There you go. In my opinion, you can't put too much wine.
All right.
So this is in here, right? You see it's starting to boil up, starting to bubble up some. It's good. We got everything off the bottom. Now this is simple. I use two cans. The recipe, you know, sometimes says one. I go two because I like to have the extra gravy because I use it on the macaronis when I'm selling entrees.
Got it. Okay.
Right? So now I just add a little bit more wine to both of these because we leave no tomatoes behind.
That's right.
Right? No tomatoes behind. Get a flag. No tomatoes behind, left behind.
No tomatoes left behind.
Right? All right. So that's it. Right, let's start getting stirred up.
Okay.
Get it all done. This is not thick. This is not a thick gravy, so we don't worry about it burning. We just want to get it all incorporated, right? Wine is needed. Being nice, purple, maroon. Nice maroon, purple, maroon. Be a great color. As it cooks down, it gets a little darker, a little deeper.
And you were using on this, what kind of wine?
I went with Cabernet.
Okay.
Cabernet Merlot, I would say, are the ones you want to go with.
Okay.
One of those. And I'll mix it up. I don't always use Cabernet. I'll go Merlot sometimes.
Yeah, so I need to get to that red.
Right. All right, so now we got this all incorporated. Okay. All incorporated is good. Now, got a fresh basil.
Okay.
Parsley's optional. Don't use it, don't use it. Garlic's not. Garlic you got to have in there.
All right.
Right? Just whole cloves and crush them.
Got it.
Okay? And again, the parsley, it's I like it in there.
Okay.
You don't have to use it. But this has to be in there. And you put the whole stems in.
Oh, wow.
Okay? Right. You'll pull the stems out later. But this really makes just such a good gravy.
What's the parsley going to do to that?
Gives a little parsley
just
flavor.
Just a little flavor. Yeah.
Another fresh herb. Get this in there. Just another fresh herb I like to use. I know a lot of people, for some reason, because it's in the brajol, prefer it not to be in here.
Got it.
Which I don't understand.
Okay.
Because the basil's in there, too.
Right. All right.
Right, so we get that all in there. Going to salt and pepper this a little bit. Salt and pepper. Because this base is what you're going to, for an entree, it's what you're going to use.
Got it.
You know, do some macaroni. Like a lot of, you know, for the entree, which what I see a lot is ravioli, like four ravioli with it.
Okay.
Which is nice. I like it like that. And then some crushed red pepper flakes and give it a good body.
Yeah.
Not
you
a lot.
Put many in there. I was gonna say, that's not sauce that's making it, not that much.
It's not going to make it hot, but it's going to give it a bold flavor.
Got it.
I get these all mixed up, right? I'm going to try to get this up to a little bit of a simmer here. Now we're going to start incorporating the brajol back into it. Okay? And all you do is just sit it in. It's hard, right?
Yeah. Maybe not for a chef like you, right? But I think you're showing how easy it can be for anybody to do this.
It's easy. I'm showing how easy.
Yeah.
All right. And then here, all this juice, don't leave it out. Get in there. It's all part of it. Now, all right, your job is we bring it up to a boil, and then we put it to the simmer. I like to cover it all. as a coach, you know, this releases more juice, the brajol, and it will cover this. But you could check it periodically and make sure that it's braised and it's covered, okay? But like I said, don't flip them. Don't try to turn them. Don't try to move them too much because they're braising, and that means they're getting soft.
Okay.
Okay? So you don't want to move them around too much, just like that. That's it.
Heavy lifting is done, is what you're saying.
It's done. Here's what we do now. Here's the last heavy lifting you're going to do with this. That's it. I'm going to get it up to a boil. Once we get it to a boil, we're going to turn it down to a low simmer. And then we're going to let it go for, I would say, anywhere from an hour and 45 minutes
okay.
to two and a half hours, but no more than 2.5 hours.
Got it.
Okay? Usually right around that 2 hour mark, we're good.
Okay.
Okay?
You should check it maybe half hour just to see.
Just take a look. Okay. I usually like every half hour, I'll take a peek at it.
Got it. All right.
You know. There we go. So we got it up to a boil already. It didn't take long. I was going to turn this down. I get a nice simmer. Now you could put it in the oven.
Okay.
I would say 325 for 2.5 hours.
Okay.
But I like it up here. So we're going to leave it up here. If I was home and I had a lot of stuff going on, like cooking for a holiday, I might go into the oven with it.
Okay.
To give me room. But since we're not, we're good. It's going to stay there.
Perfect.
Perfect. All right. Well, nothing to do now, but wait.
We'll see you for lunch in a couple hours.
Sick. See you in about an hour 45 to 2.5 hours. Enjoy the rest of your day. All right, so here we are, we're back. 2 hours later.
Oh my God, I've been waiting the whole time for this.
It smells great in here. It smells amazing. The nut smells better than when you braise meat. I'll tell you, brajol is out of this world. So it's all ready here, it's all done. We let it rest for about 20 minutes. So there you go, you got a good look at it. And there you go, we're gonna plate it up.
So we said it could be an appetizer, it's gonna be an entree for you, right? It's gonna be.
However you want to do it, you should do both, right? Then we're going to take some of this right over top. Right over top, like that.
Look at that.
All right. Let's get the towel here. You know, presentation of everything. Let's get that cleaned up. It's on the plate. We're going to go with a little cheese.
There's like two monster meatballs when you put them in like that, right?
Well, it does look like a meatball there, yeah. You know, and then we just get a little parsley in there or basil, whatever you want to go with. And there you go. You're serving that to your guest. I'm telling you, they're going to love it. That could be an appetizer.
Right. A huge appetizer. I mean,
right. Geez. You could go one for an appetizer. It's up to you however you want to do it. But I would go entree two, and then a lot of people will do like four ravioli with it. Okay. What I've seen the most now is a mushroom ravioli with it.
Oh, sounds good.
Is what I've seen the most of, right? It's a kind of new one that everyone's doing. But you could go with ziti, you can go with linguine, you can go with whatever you want. You could do a whole, you know, better linguine with this right on top.
Right.
Whatever you do, you're not going to be wrong.
It's one of those ones we've talked about before, like, especially from a cost standpoint or like, you know, it's a win because it doesn't matter what else you do. You know, that appetizer, depending on what restaurant you have, I mean, that's $12 up to $16.
Easily.
I mean, that's...
Look, this looks like it's such a fine dining dish.
Right.
You know, that you could do anywhere.
Entree, you're adding some ravioli, whatever. Now you're talking about anywhere from $18 to $26.
Depending on what kind of restaurant you
have. What your price point is, right? You know, I don't know.
If you're a pizzeria, you want to do this, your Friday night special.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're getting $18, $20. Easily.
Yeah,
right.
And right. No one's blinking.
If you're, you know, a little more, you know, of like, you know, a restaurant sit down eat,
fine dining even.
You're getting $24, $28 easy. I've seen this into the 30s, 32, 33, 34.
Like I said, at give or take $2.5, $3 all in for the appetizer. And again,
right here, you got about $3 on a plate.
Right. So even at $9 appetizer. Which would be low. I mean, right?
If anybody sells this for $9, I'm coming to look for you.
He's going to go eat there. For $9, he'll be already going. But.
This, I think, you know, like you said, 12 to 15 on this.
Very.
At a minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm only 9 right. would get you to the price, you know, to
right.
which means everything else is great.
But then you're not using it as the buffer for other items that are, you got to have because people come in for it, but you know your food cost isn't great on it.
Right.
So, right, this helps you erase some of that. Right?
100%.
But you're right, you could sell for $9.
I'm only a starting point is you can't go below, below that, you get your food cost at 9, everything else is higher, but.
I like a little more cheese. I don't know. Well, Scott, why don't you grab yourself a little plate?
Let's get a plate over there.
Grab me one too.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what you do. Just use your fork. You don't need a knife.
No knife fork. All right.
No. Oh, you ain't got a plate so everybody can see it?
I got a little bowls over here. Let me see.
I see a plate to the right over there. I want everybody to see the inside of it.
All right,
there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'll take this one. You take this one. Woo. You know, I can get you a little bit of marinara, a little gravy on it so you have it.
All right.
Because you can't have too much.
No, no, I'm just going to run in for it. Let's see.
There you go. Here's what I want to show the camera here. I want to show the camera. The inside of it. You see what I said? You're going to see the bread in there. That's why you don't overstuff it. That is perfect how it rings around. You overstuff it, it's just not going to be right.
Okay? Really good.
This is just how it's supposed to look. You don't need anything other than a fork to get to it. I'm telling you. This brings me back to my childhood every time.
It reminds me of that, like a braised beef, like a shortrib that you would get, but I like it because it has like a little more texture. Like the shortrib's kind of mushy sometimes.
Right, yeah. Well, it's, because this is rolled,
right.
You get layers.
Yeah, and I like that part of it. That
and
like,
then you're getting the bread filling.
Yeah, you get all flavor of that. And,
right, it's just layer of flavor.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop. So, if you never had this before, right? This is your first time?
I don't think so. No.
Now, when you go out and somebody you see on the menu, brajol, you getting it?
I'm in. Oh, 100% getting it.
Okay. I'm going to quiz you a little bit.
All right, what do we got?
What kind of beef is this? What was the cut?
We got, what do we get on like this one? This was a sirloin?
I didn't know you were paying attention.
I feel it was in there for a long time. And this was hours ago now that we went shopping.
2 hours ago.
Hours we went shopping for it.
So we use the cut, the same cut that you get your London broil from. That's the cut we use. You can use any kind of roast, you know, anything. It's usually not an expensive cut. It's inexpensive because you braise it so long, it breaks down. Now, like we talked about in the beginning, not a lot of fat in there.
No.
But you would never know.
Right.
It's full of flavor.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's unbelievable. It's one of my, I think if I was going to the cheer, I want a nice ossobuco.
This took a turn for the worst real quick.
If I was going to the chair, I want an ossobuco with a side of brajol.
Okay.
And I'm good. One's braised veal, one's braised beef. You can't go wrong.
That's where I'm going.
That's it.
Man, look.
I can't stop eating it. I know we're not supposed to eat on camera.
It's probably one of my favorite ones that you've made. I mean, I had to... You know where I'm going to go neck and neck, and you know what I'm going to say. I had to put this side by side to Nana's. The Nana's
pork gravy. So you think right there?
Oh man, I don't know. I'd have to, like I said, I'd have to eat them like one bite each.
Well, I don't think you go wrong with either one.
No, I had to really one bite each to see. Maybe tough to beat Nana's. That's still going to be the. But I would say this.
So goes, I would tell you this is a really close version of my Nana's.
Okay. So that's why I like it then, right?
Right. But changed a little by my mother.
All right.
And I kind of stood with it. Now, my Nona would put the garlic in.
Okay.
I just don't think it needs it.
Yeah.
So, the recipe that we're going to post, I'll have the garlic on. You guys, you want to put it or not. I just don't think it needs it. Right? We got garlic. We got the garlic in the gravy, which it comes through in the gravy. So, I don't think it needs it. But, yeah. So, it started as my Nona's. My mother made that change. That was the only thing she took the garlic out. And I've been running with it ever since.
Yeah,
and,
that's great. You
know, it's definitely one of my favorite dishes. That's why my mother does it one other way, where there's no breading. Pretty much everything that you've seen.
Okay.
But no breading.
Got it.
She puts the parsley. She don't put the basil. And that's it. And you roll it.
But still with the prosciutto in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the cracked black pepper. And you roll. And that's delicious, too. And you can go with or without the prosciutto. Even with this, you go with or without it.
Yeah, I can see it.
It's not a big difference.
Right. You get a little of that flavor in. I like it within. I mean, I think if I had a choice, I'm going in. But I agree. I don't think you would lose a ton of it if you opted not because you think it would sell better with that. Because I think whenever you use an item like that, you're always a group, you know, that you may eliminate someone from that.
You might. That's
maybe
really
but I really like it.
It might be something like the brazil, they really don't know what it is.
Right.
Froze them off. You don't need to put it in. You can. You know, I like it with it. I like it without it. A lot of them that you see, like I said, are stuck with like spinach and cheese. I'll still order it. Okay. It's not my favorite, though.
Right.
Like, this is my favorite.
That's, yeah.
Well. Yeah. And I'd love to take the gravy from there and put it with the macaroni, make one dish, have that as your dinner. And it's just, you know, for me, it's it. I'm done. I'm good.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a no-brainer to add. I mean, I really think it's something that we showed. Yeah, it took a little longer time, but not a lot of time.
Well, it's not out of prep.
Right.
It's got to cook on top of the stove. Like I said, you can cook in the oven at 325 for 2 hours.
Yeah.
But I like it up there. One, the house just smells better. The house, the restaurant, everything.
Well, it's the only one you could have as a special. You could have it in hot holding in that sauce.
Right. Well, don't ever have it being hot holding because you're going to overcook it. Right? It's already broken down.
Okay, so you're just leaving
it. The last thing we want to do is put it in hot holding. Nah, you know, listen, if we cooked it today and how I used to do it, I would cook it. I would prep it in the afternoon.
Okay.
I would cook it around 2-3 o'clock. So by 4 or 5 o'clock, it was done. And now, you know, you let it sit out for a few hours.
So it could just be in this, in the sauce.
And I just heat it up with the gravy. It's not sauce, it's gravy. Heat it up in the gravy in the pan and send it out. Or if you want to, you know, put a little gravy on top and in the oven, however you want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, but that's how I used it. I used to do it in the pan on top, heat it up, out it goes.
I love it.
But if I had some left over today for tomorrow, which very rarely that happened.
Right.
You know? Except I knew what we sold every day of it, and I made that much. And if I sold that, I was happy to.
Right.
You know why? I know that person was a little, you know, unhappy, but they got something else off the menu.
Right.
They liked it. I always talk to people that came in. We sold out, and I would go talk to them. Like, hey, I'm sorry, you know, we're out. You know, we're going to have it again tomorrow, and I'll make a couple recommendations.
Yeah.
And they were saying, my God, it was great. Now I got two things that come out. Now I don't know what to get.
Now I
got
to come 2 nights a week.
Right. Now I'm getting you to come in more, right? Because you're starting to expand your horizons on the menu, which is really important.
Yeah.
But if I was holding them cold, I know we were going in the oven at that point.
Okay.
And just let them go for 10, 15 minutes while I was doing something else.
Got it. All right. So that's right. You need to execute online if you like.
Simple. So listen, take advantage of our 30-minute free call. You know, we help you out with anything in a restaurant. It doesn't matter if it's food cost, labor, hiring, just management development. You want to get into that. You want to put one of your managers in that program. If you are a manager, you want to get into the program. You know, we have those available. Just reach out, and we're happy to you know, be part of it with you. That's it. All right, Scott. So that's it for us today.
Yep. I
Yeah, I think you're going to have to put that back down because I got a couple kids at home that if I don't go home with a couple of them, they're going to be a little unhappy. And they're getting big now. I don't want to have to be fighting everybody. All right. Well, thanks for joining the F Your Business podcast, and we'll see you next time.